From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Steve Hughes and Eduardo Medina are reporting for the Times Union. The city of Albany fenced off the sidewalks around the city police department's South Station early Wednesday, April 21st. It was not immediately clear why the decision was made to put up the barriers 5 days after protesters began a sit-in response to a confrontation that occurred last week. Department spokesman Steve Smith said in a statement posted to Twitter, and I quote, "For safety purposes, the sidewalk in front of the police station must remain clear. We fully support the rights of individuals to peacefully protest, but urge that it's done in a way that's lawful and does not impact either public health or the safety of our community." This morning, as part of normal safety protocols, barriers have been placed between the curb on Arch Street and the entrance to the South Station. "For safety purposes, the sidewalk in front of the police station must remain clear," end quote. The protesters have blocked off a portion of Arch Street and are camped out in tents. People have also written and painted on the outside walls of the station. In a live stream video on Facebook, protesters told officers that if they were going to attack or damage the station, they would have done so already, end quote. Michaela Foster, who videotaped the scene, said, and I quote, "They're now trying to open for operation, but they say they won't be displacing us," end quote. Brandon Brown from Connecticut said approximately a dozen police officers helped fence off the station. Brown said if officials want the activists to leave, their demands have to be met, including firing the officer who grabbed at a light and megaphone held by protesters, which resulted in a woman falling to the ground a week ago. In an April 19th letter to Mayor Kathy Sheehan and Chief Eric Hawkins, Greg McGee, president of the Police Officers Union, alleged that by allowing the protesters to stay, the city was knowingly jeopardizing officers' health. McGee wrote, and I quote, "The event currently unfolding at South Station have shown every member of this department that in your eyes we are expendable. As our leaders, you have failed each of us," end quote. Last week, a peaceful march protesting the death of Dante Wright in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, culminated in a brief clash between Albany police and demonstrators at South Station, where officers deployed pepper spray and a window was broken by protesters. After city officials called the protest a riot, protesters commenced a sit-in on Arch Street, vowing not to leave until certain conditions were met. And you can read more in the Times Union. Aaliyah Schneider is reporting for Columbia Green Media. The towns of Canaan, Ghent, New Lebanon, and Austerlitz have together applied for a broadband grant from the Community Project Funding Program through U.S. Representative Antonio Delgado's office, according to information provided by Ghent Town Board member Pat Matheny. The Community Project Funding Initiative allows individual members of Congress a way to request direct federal aid to local communities. Matheny said in a statement, and I quote, "We concluded that applying for this grant together would be the best, most efficient, and cost-effective model to construct and or extend broadband to the greatest number of previously unserved residents and businesses in our rural towns," end quote. She said the effort will improve the quality of life for residents. Broadband access is essential for small businesses, children, and vulnerable residents. Canaan Supervisor Brenda Adams, Ghent Supervisor Mike Benvenuto, Ghent Broadband Committee Chairman David Berman, New Lebanon Supervisor Trista Holteling, Austerlitz Supervisor Robert Lagonia, and Matheny worked together on the proposal. She said cost estimates from broadband providers to complete access across all four towns were, and I quote, "very attractive." Matheny declined to share those cost estimates with a reporter. "The amount each applicant would receive will determine how much they can complete," she said. In Ghent's case, if the grant does not cover all of its broadband needs, Matheny hopes to use the funds it is projected to receive from the American Rescue Plan Act. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Lucas Southard reports in the Times Union about how New York legalizing recreational cannabis will affect the stores who have been selling pot legally for the past 4 years across the border in Massachusetts. Eric Williams, chief operating officer of Canna Provisions in Lee, estimates that about 25% of their customers present New York State identification. While marijuana is currently legal in New York, there is still a federal prohibition against bringing it across state lines. Stores across the border will not lose many New York customers soon, as the state is a year or two away from opening retail shops. When there is completion, New York's cannabis will be slightly cheaper. New York's sales tax will be 13% on cannabis products, while Massachusetts currently charges 17%, plus a 3% local option for towns and cities. Shoppers will also have more options about what to buy when New York stores open. Brandon Pollock, co-founder and CEO of Theory Wellness in Great Barrington, said, and I quote, "The biggest new category that we've been working on is infused beverages, and I think it's going to be very popular," end quote. He added, and I quote, "There's a company that just got permission to start making infused ice cream, so you will see a lot of fun niche opportunities for entrepreneurs," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.